Hello, it's time for a brand new My Mate Bought a Toaster. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening. I really, really appreciate it. Before we start the show, just a quick word, a fraction of a second, to let you know that this show is brought to you by our friends at Onto. They are the company who can allow you to subscribe to an electric car. Get rid of your petrol and your diesel. Stop burning old dinosaur bones and get yourself an electric car. It's an incredible deal that they offer. On.to. Go and check it out. It's amazing. You can get all sorts of different electric cars from Nissan Leafs to Renault Zoes, Teslas as well. And you pay them a monthly subscription and they pay for the insurance. They even pay for your fuel, which is very exciting. On.2, go and have a look at it. Anyway, episode time? Yeah, come on then.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
It's been going on for about a year and it's been like, I now call it my stalker. I've got a stalker. That's just sending me ridiculous stuff via Amazon.
What is going on?
It's not me that's been ordering them. It's been so random stuff as well. I've had jewelry. I've had swimming goggles. I've had phone cases specifically, which has been for my phone, which has been weird.
Oh, my God.
I've had the most extravagant one was an egg incubator.
Okay. Hang on one second. So what I'm going to do, because this is too good. We cannot record this. All right, so hello, welcome to My Mate Bought a Toaster. My name's Tom Price, and this is very exciting. We've got a wonderful guest this week. Sakisa Bostwick-Barnes joins me, and we're in the middle of a conversation about, Sakisa, what on earth has been going on with your Amazon? Have you been hacked?
I have no idea what's been going on with my Amazon. Like, as I've been saying, like, I've been getting these weird deliveries.
Yeah.
So I didn't use Amazon before, like, quite regularly.
Yeah.
Like, between 2018, 2019, I wasn't using it quite regularly. And these orders just kept coming to my house during 2019. And there were random orders, egg incubators, phone cases specifically for my phone. And I was like, have I ordered these stuff that I don't know? And
what?
And
but,
then,
but are you paying for this? Is it coming out of your account?
It's not coming. I've checked all my accounts. I even had my cards changed as well. So my debit cards were changed. It's not me. It's not my Amazon. I tried to report it to Amazon and they were just like, keep the stuff. It's perfectly fine. And
no.
I was just like, but I don't want it.
No, this is also, someone's grooming you. Someone wants you to wear nice jewellery and have, someone's got a fetish for jewellery. And I mean, you've had an egg incubator. So somebody wants you to,
have some babies, buy chickens. I don't know. It's really weird. I've had like swimming goggles. I don't go swimming. It's like the proper ones that, you know, when you're going undercover, like, down below.
Dude,
and like
this is
swimming and reefers and stuff like that. It's one of those. I'm like, I don't do that.
If you're not planning to write an Edinburgh show about this, then I will. I'm going to steal it because that's wonderful. Because surely the poster for the Edinburgh show is you with all the stuff, just like lying there with your goggles on in the incubator with a chick on your lap or something.
Just be like, I don't know what this is about. He's been asking about it. Be like, what's going on with your stalker? What's happening with Amazon?
Yeah.
But I've even reported it to the police and they've done nothing about it. They haven't even acknowledged it. Yeah, because it got to a point where I was like, this is getting a bit too weird now.
Yeah,
and Amazon wasn't doing anything about it. So I was just like, I just want them to stop. Like, it's just piling up crap in my house that I don't even need.
That's just... But hang on. So it wasn't from your account. It was just people buying you something. I see. Right. Okay. So it wasn't like they hacked into your account and bought you stuff from your account.
No. So I reported to Amazon and they were like, I will tell the person that, because it had no return address, it had no gift receipt in it, so it had nothing in the packages, so I didn't even know where it came from.
Oh,
and it wasn't even
God.
Like it was a business advertising for themselves, because there was nothing in the box or no card or stuff like that.
Yeah, that's very unnerving. Do you live by yourself?
No, I live with my parents, but... I hardly give out my address to anyone in general. So, but it was just a bit weird and it was coming specifically to me. So it's not even my mom or my dad. It was coming specifically to me.
Yeah.
And it's my full name as well, which I hardly ever use because it's just so long. But yeah, so Amazon was just like, oh yeah, it's fine. We'll tell the person to stop sending you stuff. And then stuff just kept coming.
Hang on. So Amazon can see who the person is who's sending you the stuff. What? They've got to stop this stuff. No.
they were just like, no, it's fine, we'll just let the person know. And then I complained again to be like, well, I'm still receiving this stuff. And they were like, it's fine, we'll sort it out. And then I just never heard from them, chased them up about it, never heard from them.
Wow.
And then it was, like I said, it stopped coming like 6 months ago. And then someone asked me, what day were we on Monday? Someone asked me on Friday, what happened to your stalker? What happened to your Amazon stalker? Yeah, I was like, nothing's happened. And I've been using Amazon, obviously, like most people during the lockdown quite regularly.
Oh, yes, we'll get onto that. Yes, yes.
But then Saturday afternoon, the doorbell rang and it was an Amazon delivery that I wasn't expecting.
Oh, God.
And I opened it up and it was stuff that I hadn't received. And I was like, oh, no, it started again.
No. So this has just happened?
Yeah.
So what was it?
So it's so weird. It's two yarns of thread.
Oh, for God's sake! What is going on?
Two yarns of thread and a phone case for my new phone, which I don't know how they knew that.
Oh my God!
I just got the new phone.
Hello and welcome to My Stalker Bought Me a Toaster. I shouldn't joke about it. This isn't funny. That's not good. That's not cool.
No, it's perfect. It's fine because I work for a domestic violence organization.
Okay.
So when it first came in, it was a joke. It was just like, oh, this is just weird. But then it got to a point where it was just like, this is getting a bit weird now. So that's why I reported it to police, but they just haven't acknowledged the complaint at all.
Right.
Even though I reported it twice. But now it's just started again. I'm like, well, if this is just a one-off, I'm going to accept it and then maybe use the yarns of thread for something. I don't know.
Wow.
But if it's going to carry on, I'm like, I'm going to have to like do something. Like, I've tweeted about it.
Yeah.
Amazon tried to respond. I was like, you don't do anything for me anyway.
But Amazon can see. This is the thing that's upsetting me, is that Amazon can see, probably because of having to protect GDPR and all that cock. They can't do anything about it. But surely, you know, you got to get Jeff Bezos to have a word with the, you know, with your local police constabulary. And then they can say, listen, this is the address where it's coming from. Have a little go around there, have a word. That's it. The end. It's over.
I know.
Come on.
I know, it's ridiculous.
God, that's given a very dark twist to the beginning of My Mate Bought a Toaster. It's all, usually this podcast is all flim-flam and light-hearted stuff, and we're starting with Sakisa Bostock-Barnes there, telling us about her stalker. So, Sakisa, thank you so much for joining me on My Mate Bought a Toaster. I'm thrilled that you're here. You have got a wonderful, wonderful Amazon purchase history, and I'm just going to dive in.
Go ahead.
So brace yourself, get yourself comfy. Let's go to February 2005, okay? We're going to go right back, all right? And what we've got is here, Original Kings of Comedy. You've done a Region 1 thing here. We've talked about this a lot on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Those tricky little regionalizations of DVDs.
Yeah.
Original Kings of Comedy, tell us about this, please.
I started loving comedy from American comedians. And Def Jam, I saw it on... someone sent me like a recording on a tape of Def Jam, and I'm like, I love comedy now. So I tried to get as much comedy as I could because I didn't have Sky or a DVD player back in those days.
Yeah.
So I tried to, when I got a DVD player for my birthday, then I was like, let's just get some DVDs. And Original Kings of Comedy features four legends.
So you've got Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
You got Bernie Mac.
R.I.P.
Oh, man.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Bernie Mac. I'm not sure I knew that.
Did you not? Oh, yeah. R.I.P.
I'm not sure I knew that.
Yeah.
You could have broken that to be a bit more gently, to be honest.
Sorry.
It's a bit harsh. You wouldn't stand outside a funeral home and just go, R.I.P., mate, R.I.P. Come on, Sakisa. I'm a very sensitive soul.
I'm so sorry.
Who else is on it? Cedric the Entertainer.
Yes.
So tell us a bit more about the Original Kings of Comedy. So this gets you into comedy. How old are you at this point, please?
I am about 11, 12.
Okay.
I'm about 15.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
15, 16. That's who I am. Yeah.
Okay, fine. All right,
you're trying to make myself feel younger than I actually am. I'm not.
All right. I was in the middle of updating your Wikipedia then when you said that. She is much younger than me. So obviously you're at home. What's the family situation? What's the setup there? Are you getting on with your family? Because for a lot of comedians, comedy is their escape. Certainly was for me.
Yes, it was. It's because of the stuff that they talk about in the shows as well. Mm-hmm. It was something quite fresh, quite new. I would enjoy it in my room, just laughing to myself. My parents would be like, keep it down in there. And I'm like, but I'm laughing so hard, it's too funny. Like Cedric the Entertainment section is probably my favorite bit, just because he's got so much personality, and it just comes across on, you can just feel it from the DVD.
Yeah.
And I am quite a person who has been told by Chortle that, you know, I've got more personality than material. So I probably have picked it up from like watching comedians who have got quite a lot of energy, and who are able to like put out their energy to an audience. So like, I just love this so much. I've seen it about 2,500 times.
Yeah.
Because it's just so good. It's such a classic thing to watch.
Yeah.
Bernie Mac's bit at the end, about motherfucker is just the perfect joke to end it on. And
yes.
Also in the DVD, you see them like interacting, because it's based on like a tour, but it's obviously filmed in one city, but you see them interacting with each other whilst on tour, and it's just so good to see comedians just in a different light, especially because obviously most DVDs nowadays is just one person, whereas that's quite unique where it's just four of them doing 20 minutes or 15 minute sets. And Steve Harvey is just an amazing MC. Americans, because they're so brass anyway.
Yeah.
And so out there, and it feels like they can say whatever they want to and get away with it without being seen as taboo. I think I've got my stage persona from that.
Yes.
Just watching these, especially like watching Def Jam and stuff like that as well. Just them coming out and Martin Lawrence is an amazing, he's not in the DVD, but he was in the Def Jam DVDs.
Yes, Def Comedy Jam, you got that as well.
Yeah,
there we are. September 2005 as well. Yeah, this woman is researching.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably my early research.
Okay, so we have a fun-filled, enthusiastic teenager. She's trouble at school. She's the Joker. She's hiding from her parents, watching comedy in her room. Also, August 2005, the driving test success theory. So are you preparing? Because you're not 17 at this point, are you?
No. I think I was, 16 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I was preparing to, like, get ready to start driving.
Okay.
So I was like, I want to start driving because I was like, I wanted to be one of those, someone at school, because I was at starting sixth form at this point, started driving their car and parking it with the teachers. I was like, oh, I want to be that person who looks like an ass.
Hang on, how do you mean they started driving with the teachers even before they were 17?
Yeah, so he was 17, so he restarted his year. So he had to restart the year. So he was in my year, but he had to restart it. So he was 17, but driving to school.
I see.
And we've managed to, because he was like one of the only few people, students who was driving at that time, they only had parking spaces with the teachers. So he just parked with the teachers.
Oh my God. How did he get away with that?
He was, to be honest, I'm not going to lie, he was quite posh and middle class. So I think that's why.
The entitlement. Where did you go to school then?
I went to Burntwood School for Girls.
Right.
But you notice I mentioned it was a he.
Yes, I did spot that.
So the sixth form section of the school turned into a mixed sixth form.
Okay.
So boys started coming to the school. And as you can imagine,
God,
a school full of girls.
Oh my God, you must have eaten them alive.
I didn't, because they weren't that good looking.
they were very good at parking. So.
They were very good at parking, yeah. But there was like six or seven boys in a whole school full of girls. You can imagine just girls just being like outside a sixth form dorm, just like, oh, Jonathan, oh, Tony. I was like, no, leave them alone.
So hang on, dorm. Is it a boarding center? Are we talking boarding school here?
No, but we had like a little, like, I called it a dorm. So it's a sixth form dorm where we just like it was just for us, the six orders.
Right. So yeah. I went a bit Hogwarts there. I'd sort of imagined that. So I drifted into this as when I was 16, this would definitely have been my fantasy to be one of six boys parking with the teachers at an all-girls school. Jesus Christ. I'm going to need a moment to just absorb this. Just give me a sec.
Yeah, I think the pregnancy rate at our school did go up that year. I'm not going to lie. It was a South London school, so I'm not going to lie.
Let's move on, Ski. So we're going into 2006 now. Look at this. Yoga for Beginners by Joy Nylene Grohn, actor, apparently. $11.99 this.
I'm not quite sure why at 17 years old I bought this DVD.
Yeah, that is young.
I'm not going to lie. I think I was at... So I did A-level dance. So I think I bought it when we were doing our A-levels for me to be a bit more flexible, a bit more zen into my body. But after like sixth form and A-level, didn't do yoga again until earlier this year. So,
there you go. And how old are you now, Skeeter, if I may ask?
I'm 33 years old now.
33. So now do you feel the need for it a bit more than you did when you were 17?
I'm only doing it because it's free at work.
Good. Free yoga.
Well, yeah, free.
But
yeah,
this is what I'm doing. I'm doing yoga with Adrienne.
Oh, okay.
She's great. She's just great. It's just really important that people know that she's great. My wife.
Are you doing it outside or inside?
Oh my God. My God, Sakisa. I am embarrassed doing it by myself. I feel embarrassed for myself when I do it. The positions that I'm getting myself into. I was doing it the other day and my son walked in because the only room in the house big enough to do it in is my boy's bedroom. And I was in the middle of doing this position where Adrienne was just saying, so if you can get into a tripod right now and get onto your head and do a handstand, that'd be great. And I'm like, holy shit. She's got her head on the floor and my head was somewhere near my crotch. It looked like I was trying to give myself a blowjob, basically. And my son barged in and went, Daddy, why are you doing fat yoga? And it's pretty ugly when I do yoga. But I really, really like it. And so you're appreciating it now at 33, are you?
I am appreciating it now. It is calming. It is, some of the moves though is a bit weird. Having to balance and breathe in and out at the same time is something that I'm just not used to do.
Yeah. Stay with the breath. Long since lost the breath.
Can the breath finish?
Can I just hold my breath for 20 minutes while I do this? But yeah. I must admit, because when I've got. So you sound like you're quite high energy. And one of the things that my high energy leads to is I do hyperventilate a bit sometimes, right? Over the years, I've often been just a little bit gaspy. And this yoga has helped me to control that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, definitely. It's been really good. Is it something you would do before gigs, maybe? Does it help clear your mind for a gig?
No, it's something that I do midweek when I'm just feeling a bit like I just need to have a moment.
Yes.
Especially during being in lockdown, it's been quite intense. I've been doing quite well. I've been doing a lot of exercising. I've lost a stone.
Wow.
So getting back into yoga has helped with like mental health well-being as well as self-care.
Good. That's what we like to hear. Okay.
Yeah, because self-care is obviously very important. So.
Yeah, but when people say self-care, I just think that means masturbating. That's the problem I've got. I'm trying to. It's true, though, isn't it? I've just been doing some self-care. Really? Yeah, yoga, actually. You're not fucking hell. But no, it's so important. It's so, so important. And over lockdown, especially. So you've locked down with the family, have you?
Yeah, with the family. Which hasn't been as bad as I thought it was, to be honest. I thought I was going to kill my mum. because I have spent like more time with them during lockdown than I have probably in the last 10 years.
Right, yeah.
I'm normally out the house. And I say that I live with my parents, but technically they live with me because I bought the flat. It's just like, they just don't want to go back to Barbados. So I'm like, go back to Barbados. There's a house there that no one's in. Just go back. And to be honest, during quarantine, I was like, why are we not in Barbados right now? We could be in Barbados.
Yeah, well, I mean, recording right now, it feels hot enough to be in Barbados, to be honest. Just nowhere near as beautiful.
Well, apparently it is more hot. in the last few days than it is in Barbados and Jamaica.
Oh my God, I can't bear it. I can't bear it.
But the problem is that this country has no air, because it's got, especially in London, it's obviously got big cities, like big buildings and stuff like that. It's a big city.
Yeah.
There's loads of buildings. So there's no air.
There's no air. Can't they pump it in? Can't we import some air?
It's like really ridiculous. I'm in my room at this moment in time, and I really wish my fan was on.
Oh, I know. I'm so sorry. So essentially, just so you listeners know, me and Sakita are going to have a lovely chat, high energy. In about 20 minutes time, we're both just going to go really dopey. So I reckon we've got 20 minutes of good podcasting to go, Sakita, before we fall apart.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
We're doing some Bikram podcasting now in the heat. And then we'll be good. Okay, so that's Yoga from Yoga for Beginners by Joy Nylene Groen. It's got some good reviews. Yes.
Quite old though. I realized when I was looking back at it, I was like, it looks like it's from the 80s.
Yeah. And she's doing the thing where she's the picture of her on the front of the DVD is a really nice photo of her smiling at the camera, but she's had to drop her shirt off her shoulder, so she's revealed a bit of naked shoulder. And I'm like, why have you done that? You don't need to do that. Why have you done that?
Sometimes you need a little bit of sex appeal, isn't it? Maybe that's what it was, a little bit of sex appeal.
Yogi flirting.
Yeah,
oh
exactly.
My God, can you imagine if you were at a yoga class and you fancied someone at a yoga class? Can you imagine?
The position, she'd be like, hey, I'm flexible. Would you like to come over?
Oh, hello you. My name's Tom Price.
Hello, I'm Dave Cribb.
You should come and join us. Every day we do a podcast called Cabin Fever, where we talk to loads of comedians who've had to cancel everything else in their lives, so they come on our podcast instead, don't they, Dave?
Yeah, it's an isolation podcast.
Dave, were you yawning at the start of that sentence then? Was it just a little yawn?
Yeah, it's basically the Great Big Owl isolation podcast. We'll have people on from all our podcasts, from your Rule of Threes, your Brian Rogers, your Musicals, your Bitchins. If you like any of our podcasts, if you like any of those people, chances are they'll be logging onto the Zoom call and just chatting, because let's face it, they got nothing else to do.
Also, there'll be a quiz on the bill. All right, see you soon. Lots of love. Cabin FE83709. That's our Twitter name. My matey bought a toaster. Now, what happens now? So it goes very dull on your Amazon shopping history, Sakisa. It's European Union law. European Union law again. This is Blackstone's study packs. Equity and Trusts, Law Express. So I'm sensing study and I'm sensing law. There we are. I'm pretty intuitive at these things.
Yeah, you are right. Well done for the investigation and as the detective.
Thanks.
Yes. I realised over the next 3 years, I didn't shop on Amazon apart from books. So it's all law books, because I went to law school at university to do law. Don't know why, but yes, I did law. So it's a lot of law books that I bought between 2008 and 2011.
Okay. And then there's a leap, right? Then there's a leap. Then we suddenly are going to go all the way to 2014 now, okay?
Ooh.
Yeah. And we've got a heavy metal fun time activity book. Can you explain what the hell this is, please?
This is actually a gift. I bought No, I did. I actually bought this for a gift for a friend of mine who is into like heavy hardcore metal. I like rock music, but he's into like hardcore metal, like proper metal, and like the ones that you can't even understand the words.
You mean the those ones,
mm-hmm. The ones where people are just flipping their hair, and you're just like, okay, they're saying some sort of words. Is it a different language? Is it Klingon? I don't know what it is. That kind of like, so I was like, I need to get him like a novelty kind of gift. Which will fit in with what he likes. And I found that on Amazon.
So I love the idea of him listening to Klingon thrash whilst colouring in. Just really nice. Really nice mindfulness. So what kind of music are you into then? You are into heavy metal as well, but just not as hardcore as this stuff.
No, I like all types of music. Obviously R&B and hip-hop, obviously, because I'm black. But I do like rock music, which surprises quite a lot of people. Every time I go to a rock gig, it's normally like me and five other black people like, oh my God, there you are. Hey, well done. Yeah. But, you know, I like rock music, but it's not as hardcore. I like stuff like Korn, Evanescence, Slipknot, nothing too heavy.
Why aren't there so many people of colour who go and go to those rock gigs? Why is that? What's the? I mean, I know it's a big question to land on your doorstep now, but I'm interested.
I can't speak for obviously all people of colour, but I think from my friends' perspective, so I share Spotify with my friend, my best friend.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll be listening to like my rock playlist and she'll turn on Spotify and it'll be playing on her end. And I'll just get a message being like, are you okay? Are you angry? Has something just happened?
Oh, that's lovely. What a good way to stay connected. That's great.
I'm like, no, I'm actually quite in a happy mood. I'm just listening to my rock music.
Yeah.
Or my mum will be, if I'm listening to my room and she will hear it, she's just like, it just sounds like noise. Can you just turn it down? And I'm like, it's actually got a good bass beat to it.
Yeah.
But people just hear the and they'll listen to the bit underneath it.
Yeah.
Some of them have got really good messages in them. So, or really good beat.
Okay, so who should we go to then? Give us a, because I wouldn't even know where to start. Who would I put on my Spotify now to try and understand this type of music and not be the miserable old shitbag that I am and go, and it's literally, that's what I say, is like, just a noise, just a noise. Who should I listen to?
If you're going to work yourself in, I would probably say listen to AFI or... Linkin Park is a good way to like work yourself in.
Okay. Okay.
They were quite mainstream but also rock.
I've heard of them. Yeah.
Or if you want to try and like go deep in, give Slipknot a bit of a go. Slipknot is really, really good. I went to their concert in January.
Oh really?
And it was awesome.
I would so love it if if it's my wife's turn to put the kids to bed tonight and I'm cooking and she comes downstairs, she's like, this is not the Buena Vista Social Club. Babes, I spoke to Sakisa earlier on, so we're now a Slipknot family. So cool.
I would love it because as well, Slipknot wears masks. So it's just like, it just seems like it's Halloween 24 hours a day with Slipknot.
Surely. That's brilliant. Surely that means it was the safest concert possible in January. Okay, elsewhere in December 2014, you bought Civil War by Stuart Moore. Nice when the author rhymes with the title. That's very pleasing. Civil War by Stuart Moore. You a fan of the old Civil War?
I'm a massive fan of Civil War, massive fan of Marvel and comic books in general. I'm not really a big fan of DC. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, unless we're talking Batman.
Yeah. I think we can all agree with that. We can all...
Yeah, exactly.
I had to do... what was it? What's the water guy called? What's the water guy from DC called? You know, the one who lives in the water.
Aquaman.
Fuck me, Sakisa. I had to go and watch that film. Then I had to interview him, Jason Momoa.
Oh, see, that I would love because he is hot.
Yeah. Obviously, he's hot. And I touched him. I touched his muscles. But the film was absolute doggo, mate. The film's fucking shit.
I have seen the shit film. And I'm just like, are we going to make number two? Okay, cool.
It's so bad.
It is bad. I only watched it because he's in it and because he's hot.
Yeah.
But the film shit. The whole DC, to be honest, if we're talking like film wise, DC versus Marvel, DC has just like lost the plot. I don't know what they're doing.
No, I know.
Do not make any more films.
Stop what you're doing, guys. Someone needs to go and someone needs to stage an intervention. Ironically, Iron Man needs to stage an intervention.
Exactly.
At DC. It's true. I'll tell you what DC have got though. Have you ever watched Teen Titans Go?
Oh, I have actually, yes.
It's ever so good.
It is, yeah, it is. So their Amazon stuff is actually all right. So they actually have quite a few TV series on Amazon. A couple of their series on Amazon is all right.
Yeah.
But film-wise, apart from Shazam, it's the only one that I was like, oh, actually, Shazam is all right. This is quite interesting. Mm-hmm. Everything else, dog shit. Don't do it. But Civil War, the book, or the graphic novel, is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Loved it.
I must admit, I've never considered reading any of the Marvel books. Age of Ultron as well, you got there.
Yeah, no, read it. Because they're obviously quite different from the film.
Yeah.
But the films are obviously based on the comic books and the graphic novels.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting to see what they've done in terms of adapting it for TV.
Yes.
Compared to what they've done for the graphic novels.
And that's
the graphic novels are really good.
That's a good lesson when you see what people have done to take something from a novel, whether it's graphic or just, you know, just words, and turn it into a movie, and you see the strategy they've used, the things they've taken out, the things they've added. That's a really good lesson because, Sakisa, one day you're going to be writing your movie. So, you know what?
Who's going to star in my movie? That's the thing. He's going to star.
I'm available.
But the problem with, like, Marvel is that how a lot of their characters were bought by Fox. So a lot of their X-Men characters were bought by Fox. So they had to change a couple of, like, words or, like, what's her name? Not Black. Scarlet Witch, as she would be known.
Yeah.
Can't be referred to as Magneto's daughter.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're getting into proper details here.
Yeah.
This is where I depart the conversation.
Fair enough. Let's move on.
I think this is my stop. Is that Warwick Avenue? Yeah, all the best. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, let's move on then, Sakisa. Let's go to... What have we got here? Look, 2018 now. Oh, yeah, Becoming Michelle Obama, November 2018. I've not read it. Is it wonderful?
It is wonderful. Yeah. Michelle Obama needs to run for just the world leader.
Yeah.
Not even president. World leader.
Yes. Yes.
Love her.
Yes, she has my vote. She has my vote.
She's amazing.
She's amazing. And the things that everything about what she's done, the way she's held that position with such dignity and such intelligence and then developed it now after President Obama's stepped down, the way she's become herself and her sort of, do you know what I mean? Like there's a new version of her now. It's a new thing because I think maybe that is the long-term plan. I think she will run, you know. I think it'll take 10 years, but I think she will.
Yeah, I feel like this is what Hillary Clinton should have done.
Yeah.
Like obviously Hillary, first lady, there was a big situation with her husband cheating on her.
Oh, really? What happened? What?
Yeah.
But he seems so... Okay, fine. Shit, I'll Google that after. Okay, yeah.
And then... But the way that she, like, handled it or dealt with it, I don't think, like, people were, like, on Hillary's side. So by the time that she ran for president, it was kind of like, well, you can't even handle your own husband. How are you going to handle the whole world?
Oh my God. That is still the bottom line about Hillary, wasn't it? That was...
Yeah.
Shit, I'd never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
That's exactly it, isn't it? That is...
Michelle had 8 good years. No,
you make her sound like a dog. You've had 8 good years.
No, but there was no issues with Barack. There was no extra children that came out of the woodworks. No. There were no like he wasn't cheating on her. There was no drug scandal. He'd not turn out to be a paedophile.
Right.
It's just Barack.
Yeah,
the
man.
Obamas are like all hell Obamas.
I think that is definitely. I'm definitely on board with that. Okay, good. So that's Becoming by Michelle Obama, which everyone I know who's read it absolutely loves it and says it's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, she's great. A Child's First Bible, obviously written by God. That's December 2018. Now, who did you buy this for?
I bought this for my first nephew.
Oh.
So I don't have any... I say that, but the nephew's not actually my proper nephew. So it's my best friend's child.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't have any brothers or sisters, so my best friends are I'm quite close to my best friends. So.
Oh, and are you officially going to be auntie then? Do you get called auntie yet?
Yeah, I get called auntie. So I have actually got five girls at this moment in time who are what I consider my little nieces, and then there's two nephews.
You've got a team.
I have.
You're getting a team ready. I don't know what for, to take over the world? I don't know, but yeah.
Let's just take it over.
Let's just do it. And the Bible thing, are you of faith? Is that a thing for you?
I was brought up as a Christian, but not really a proper Christian now. I'm more like a pay-as-you-go, pay-monthly kind of Christian. The one that really like when something happens, I'm like, God, please, are you there? Let's just help me. Yeah.
So you're like a sort of 500 megabytes of data a month.
Yeah,
Christian.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a beautiful way of putting it. That's like 3 or 4 prayers. And sometimes you might run out by the 10th of the month, but that's fine. You can top up. He's very
top
big
up
on
for
that.
The next month. Let's just save it for the next month. Yeah, that's my kind of
Christianity. Good. Reinventing Christianity. I love it. November 2019. Now here's a book which I love, Queenie by Candice Carty-Williams. What a fantastic book.
It is a fantastic book, but I didn't buy this book for myself. I bought it for my best friend.
Uh-huh.
okay. for her. So it's a Christmas present for my best friend. So every year we exchange some sort of books. You may have noticed that I ordered quite a lot of Eric Jerome Digby books.
Yes.
So he's my favourite author, and we would always buy each other those kind of books. Nice. I think it's very important to represent those people who of people of colour, yeah. especially writers. So I always try and buy books in relation to that will encourage people of colour and obviously represent what yes. they're saying yes. and what yes. they stand for. So, yeah.
Do you feel like it's an exciting time at the moment? Does it feel? Yeah. Do you feel the positive energy around what's going on?
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest. It's a very interesting time. Mm. Obviously, Black Lives Matter being restarted during lockdown was a very interesting concept.
Yeah,
I did have questions about whether this is only just coming up because we're all really locked down. Because those kind of videos, especially with George Floyd, wasn't. New, it has been continuing to be happening for yeah. months and years, so it wasn't like anything new. And I just felt like maybe because everyone was locked down and had nothing else to concentrate apart from things that were coming out on the news,
yeah,
that's why it got such a massive impact, which is rightly so. And it's very interesting about the amount of people who've messaged me, especially white people. Who have messaged me being like, is there anything that I can do? Just let me know.
How do you feel about that one? Because I'm, what's it like when white people say that? Do you feel like, just why are you messaging me? What's it got to do with me? Do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
I don't represent all people.
Yeah.
or all black people. But I'm like, if any, the amount of time that people have sent me messages in that kind of way, if they could just send me some money at the same time, that would be great.
Just so you can top up your credits yeah. with God. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So, just send me some money at the same time.
Yeah.
That would be helpful.
But that is a really interesting thing. And I sound so, again, so white and desperate to say the right thing. But I've read so much more in the last 6 months than I ever have around this topic. And this sort of white person, the savior thing, is just fucking gross. And also the find a black friend and make them a spokesperson, text them. It's just like,
yeah.
you've got to be so thoughtful and careful about how we act in this situation.
It's like the modern way of saying, I've got one black friend.
Oh god.
yeah. But to be honest, obviously the movement has been quite good in terms of letting people know about reading about stuff like Natives by Carla is an amazing book.
Yeah.
And all the materials and making people know that certain things are not right. Like recently the BBC have done something that has been quite questionable in terms of having the N-word being put on broadcast.
Oh my God. And wasn't it read out by a white news broadcaster?
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
fucking, what were you thinking? Yes. What were they thinking?
They didn't apologize until yesterday about it. They had yeah. like a good, I think it was four or five, not even that, it's been over a week. Yeah, it's been over a week. They didn't apologize until yesterday. One of my favorite presenters on Radio 1 Extra has announced he's going to leave Sideman because of the whole thing, because he just felt like, well, I can't work for an organization which is going to like not represent us or even apologize.
You've got to come straight
but
out
also,
of the blocks
I find
and apologize.
A bit,
what on
yeah,
earth?
I think it's a bit weird because I did the BBC competition. I was in the final in 2017.
Yeah, no big deal. No big deal, Sakisa. No big deal. Yeah,
just
whatever.
Dropping that in.
Yeah, whatever.
But they were so picky about the words that I could use. I've got two separate jokes that use the word bitch in it, and they were like, we can't let you have two bitches. You can only have one. And I was just like, it's just going to ruin the joke. I can't have two bitches. So I just find it so interesting about who's allowed to do certain things and who's not allowed to do certain things, especially when it comes to like a big corporate organization.
But
if they want to give me some money, that's
let's get some money. The other thing as well, you know, you're saying earlier on that this sort of stuff has been going on for ages and only now do we notice. And that in itself must engender an angry response of, well, thanks for noticing, guys. You know, like this has been happening for a long time. Having said that, the positive side of that is things like the Labour MP, Dawn Butler, who got stopped by police.
Oh my life. I saw the tweet when she first tweeted about it. She was like, just got stopped by police. I'm in Hackney. We'll give you an update soon. I was like, oh, this is going to be drama. Oh.
Yeah.
And it's been all over the news this morning. It's been so ridiculous.
So ridiculous, mainly because of the people who've come out, obviously, Michael Fabricant. Making sure I really pronounce his name properly there, Michael Fabricant, who said, I've driven and I've been stopped several times. And you just think, and also Tim Montgomery, who's a reasonably centrist but right-wing commentator, he did a tweet about it saying, we don't live in a racist country. It's like, listen, guys, you are white men. You do not know the experience. You cannot. Yeah. Lawrence Fox on Question, you just cannot sit there and say what their experience is. I wouldn't say what Jewish people, I wouldn't start to define anti-Semitism. I'm not Jewish. I will listen to the experience of people who've experienced those things. And the Dawn Butler thing, the only thing I kept thinking was, I've driven for 23 years, Sakisha. 23 years, right? 23 years I've driven around the place, loads of driving as a comic. I have not been stopped once. And I would love to hear someone of colour who is 40 years old, who's driven for 23 years. I'd love to hear their experience, because I bet you it's a lot more than zero. It's just there. And
me and my dad actually got stopped. So my dad came with me to Stanton Calling, which was my first performance at a festival.
Right.
And if Grace Jones was performing, I was like, it's for free ticket. I was like, yeah, we're going. And my dad cried.
Yes.
I don't like driving on motorways. I drive, but I don't like driving on motorways. So I got my dad to drive. And he obviously loves Grace Jones.
Yeah.
So we were driving back, and we were actually about 3 minutes away from our house. And we saw the police pull up behind us. And my dad just carried on driving. He started driving a little bit faster. I think he wanted to antagonize them, to be honest.
Yeah, good.
And then we turned the corner into our estate and then parked up, and they were still following us, parked up right behind us, and came up to the door and just went, is everything okay? And we were just like, God. Yeah. And then for a minute, you could see that the other police officer was checking my dad's registration. We were in our own estate. We were in our house, literally. You could see he was checking our own the registration number, which obviously turned out to be fine. And then it was like, just checking everything's okay. We're just going to lose you now. Have a nice night.
The very idea that they can deny that's not a racially, motivated thing. If I'm sorry, but if you were white, you wouldn't have been stopped. You just wouldn't.
Yeah. But like, some people obviously don't see the issue. Like, when we say Black Lives Matter, we're not talking about the fact that just our lives matter. We're just trying to point at that. Things have been going on for, I don't know, since 500, 600 years. I don't know if you've heard about things that have been happening in the news. Yeah. It's been happening, like, maybe in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, yesterday on the tube. Like, things happen every single day. It's not something new. People just need to acknowledge that. And for the straight white men that are listening that feel like that it's no longer their time, you are right. It's no longer your time. It is not your time at all. And I do feel sorry for you. It must be so hard being a straight white man who doesn't have anything at the moment in time, who's not being talked about.
Thank you. Really appreciate your thoughts and prayers. Thank you. You have been bought red-handed. Okay, now we must move on, Sakisha, because I don't know about you, but I've lost about 6 stone in sweat since recording this, because it is we are recording this on the surface of the sun, aka our respective studios, which are boiling hot. So let's do a lockdown special now before we lose you, the brilliant Sakisha Bostock-Barnes. Let's see what you've been buying during lockdown. Lovely bit of wiggery going on here. Do we call it a wig? Wig genius, that's who you bought it from. An 8-piece passion twist, 18-inch long bohemian braids. There we are. £33.
That is because all the hairdressers obviously were closed, mm-hmm. and I couldn't do my hair. So I was like, what can I obtain that could like last for how long ever the lockdown was? So I got some braids. I made my mum put them in, and they looked lovely. And I recently have taken them out because the hairdressers have reopened, so I'm very, very happy.
Okay, right, fine. So lockdown for you was braids, okay?
Yeah, all
right,
was very big hair. It was very, very big.
Okay, okay.
Too big.
Also, but really happy to see at the end of 2019, November 2019, you must have known something was coming in 2020, forgive the pun, because you bought the waterproof rabbit pole vibrator. £33.50.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So did you fear, obviously you were probably hearing the stories coming from China and you thought, we're going to go into lockdown. If I don't buy this, then things are going to go badly wrong.
Exactly. We were talking about self-care earlier. I thought, let's just get some self-care.
Yeah.
So products. But to be honest, I don't use this model because it's not as great as I thought it was going to be. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, right. So you need to write a full and frank review in that case.
I know, this is the thing, I haven't written anything, any reviews ever in my life.
Right.
When it comes to like purchasing anything on Amazon. And I think I should. I think I want to take your advice about this one because it was very disappointing. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. I mean, can I ask why it was disappointing? Am I crossing the line there?
It's just, let's just say it didn't do its job.
Okay, fine.
Oh, it was just a bit more complex. It wasn't as powerful as it hyped it up to be.
I see.
It was a disappointment.
Right.
It was a disappointment.
Okay, so yeah. you got bad vibes. Sorry.
And also, I didn't realize the batteries. This one I should really read small print. The batteries were one of those, you've got to buy those big fat ones, like the C or D ones that are like very rare and also very expensive. And it's like, who wants fat batteries in their vibrator? No one wants that.
No, right, exactly. You want triple A's, don't you?
Yeah, you want triple A's that are easy accessible that you can just rope, like, constantly get.
That is a triple A environment, if ever I saw one. Okay, also, another bit of self-care here. Boxing training skills and techniques. That was bought in December. Are you a boxer?
No, again, this is a gift.
Okay.
I bought a gift for a friend of mine. We went to go and see him box for charity. He's doing it for the very first time.
Right.
And he won via knockout.
Oh my God.
Within the first 5 minutes he won. And which is quite obviously disappointing because we were there for like a good 3 hours before his match. We were just like, 5 minutes? You gave us 5 minutes.
We've stood around for ages.
Yeah, literally. It was like the food was crap. Like, and he just gave us 5 minutes. But no, I was really happy. And he was like, I'm going to retire. Now I'm going to be undefeated and retire.
So what was he doing this for? He was doing amateur boxing for charity.
Yeah, for charity. For cancer research charity.
How much did he raise? This is a wonderful story.
He raised, I believe, I might be wrong, but it was definitely over £2,000.
How gorgeous is that?
Yeah.
That's so absolutely brilliant.
The tables were quite expensive, so I can see why. Yeah.
What was it like? I've never been to watch a boxing match. It looks brutal.
It was actually quite fun. Obviously, it's amateur boxing, so it wasn't like proper brutal.
Yeah.
So, but it was fun. It was a good time. It was a nice vibe. We all had to dress up. So it's black tie event.
Oh, really?
So we all had like, all the women all had like stinky dresses on and the guys were looking like really dapper. So it's really, really nice.
It's funny, isn't it, that you're made to look so civilized for something so pretty savage as people punching the crap out of each other.
And it was quite interesting as well because, it's like football, isn't it? You get hyped up and you're like, kick him in the nuts!
but you're dressed like you're at Buckingham Palace.
Exactly!
Kick him in the nuts is the worst thing to shout at a boxing match. Kick him in the knackers! Squeeze him on the dick! Go on!
That's just brilliant. Knock him down! You're from South London, you should know how to do this.
Fantastic. Okay, all right, Sakisa, we are nearly at the end of our journey with you today on My Mate Bought a Toaster. We've seen you start at a school in South London watching a scared, terrified boy parking with the teachers. We've come all the way now to July 2020. And I feel like this delivery on the 25th of July, three things sum you up perfectly. We've gone for Candy Kittens Tropical Mango Vegan Sweets, right, which cost a quid. That's such an add-on, like, what can I get to make this delivery exciting? Because the rest of the delivery is fucking boring, but I want some sweeties for me, please.
That actually is the truth.
Yeah, because you know, there's nothing worse than when you get the delivery from Amazon, you're like, ooh, what is it? Oh, it's fucking Tupperware. Jesus.
I saw them, they were like a pound, and I did look at their other range of sweets and they were more expensive, and I'm like, no, let's just get the ones for the quid. And I bought two, so I was like, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. And also, you bought some dressmaking scissors, some heavy duty, hardcore dressmaking scissors, and a spoon scoop straws with a scoop on for smoothies. Explain to us what's going on here, please.
Okay, right. So the scissors is because I bought a sewing machine during lockdown.
Okay, right.
Yeah, so I was like, maybe I should try and be like crafty.
In what sense?
I thought, we're already quite creative when it comes to comedy. Let's try and be a little bit crafty. Let's see if we can make some stuff.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how long this lockdown was going to be.
Yeah.
So let's try and make some clothes, or let's alter some clothes. Let's do something fun. So I bought a sewing machine. And then I realized the scissors that I've got to cut material is crap. so I had to buy some hardcore Duty. And they're very, very good.
Those are beasts. But the crucial question, Skeeter, is how much stuff have you made?
Nothing.
yes, I love it.
I've not made one thing. I bought patterns. I've bought all the shebang. Like, I've got a big old kit.
Yeah.
Bought all the shebang. I even bought myself a table for the sewing machine because I'm not allowed to do it in the living room because it's going to get everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I bought a table. It's all proper. I've cut out the patterns.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Cut out the material.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad.
That was 2 weeks ago.
And it's not like you can say, well, you've been, you know, busy doing stand-up because that's been cancelled. So, you know, you're literally sitting there. I suppose you are, you know, you do have a job. I should mention that you do have a part-time job. But come on, you could have made me a curtain or something to talk about.
No, it's true. I literally have time. I've actually had time.
So
I've
good.
Been on annual leave as well, so I've had time.
Oh, my God. So you haven't been working properly either.
No, I'm not even
fantastic.
Working properly.
Fantastic. So, Sakisa, we leave you there, surrounded by all the crap you've bought.
I will say about the straws.
What the straws? Yeah,
the straws is because someone bought me a slushy machine.
What, like in the, like you see in the cinema, which you see just swidging around all the time?
Yeah, someone bought me a slushy machine, so I've got my slushy machine, and we're going to have a big barbecue at my best friend's house, so I took it with me and was like, I need to buy some straws, so I bought slushy machines, slushy straws.
What's the best flavour slushy, and what is it about a slushy that makes it a slushy? It's just tons of sugar, isn't it?
No, so we buy the syrup. You've got to buy the syrup for the slushy machine, and then you add loads of ice. It's all about the ice.
Yeah.
So you put the ice in, and it's like makes this silver thing in the middle cool, and that will make the slushy effect.
Okay.
So the best flavor is tropical, obviously.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Best flavor is tropical, and it was so amazing. And then you put a little bit of rum in it, make yourself a little cocktail. It's amazing. Oh. Especially in weather like this.
Yeah, exactly. This is a delicious end to a delicious episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster. Fantastic. Listen, thank you so much. This has been really, really lovely. Can we follow you on Twitters and all that sort of stuff, or Instagram? What's your social media business, please?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. It's Twix Comedy, Twix like the chocolate.
Yeah.
Or if you just Google my first name, or like on Google, if you Instagram my first name, Sakisa, Sikisa, it will come up because I'm the only one in the world with this name.
This name's incredible. What's the background of the name, please?
So this is a story that my mum told me.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say it that way is because I don't know if it's 100% true.
Okay.
So my mum told me that my name means faithful. And that it is an African name, and that she got the name from reading about kings and queens within the African culture. So apparently I'm named after an African queen. Zimbabwean people have told me that my name is Zimbabwean.
Right.
Which I'm like, okay, cool. But other people have told me that my name is like from the Arabs, or I have no idea. But my mum told me that I was named after an African queen, and it means faithful.
That's beautiful. But also, you definitely are a queen because you sit there surrounded by materials, and yet you're still not doing anything like a queen.
Yeah.
You're just waiting to be waited on hand and foot so someone else will do it. It works.
Yeah, eventually I'm going to be like, Mum, can you just sew it for me?
Yeah, exactly. Just clap your hands. That's what a queen would do. It's what a queen would do. All right, Skeeter, you're absolutely brilliant. Good luck with everything, and thanks for joining me on My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Thank you so much.
The absolutely wonderful Sakisa Bostwick Barnes. Check her out on Twitter and go and see her if you get a chance live, because she's fantastic. That's it for now. That's it for this week. Thank you very much. I've got more episodes ready to go. We've got some good ones coming up in the next few weeks. Tim Dowling, the Guardian columnist, has agreed to do it. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Also, Clint Edwards, fantastic stand-up comic, and many, many more people besides. I've got a long list and I haven't got it in front of me, and my ability to recall names is horrific. So those are the only ones I can remember. But there's some good ones coming up, and thanks for all your kind comments. And if you get a chance, if you get a sec, do give us a little review, a little cheeky review over on the podcast bits, then that'd be lovely. All right, have a good week. Bye.
We like to listen to Toast, and we're not the kind who would boast, and even in spite of the host, we still like to listen to Toast. La 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 la.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hi there, I'm Yasmin Akram. Join myself and my friend Philippa Dunn each week for our podcast, We Heart Worry, a show about cars and their engines. Obviously not. It's a show where we talk about our fears, our worries, and our anxieties in a bid to help you with yours. And we just have a laugh as well. So join us. There's nothing to be scared of. I promise.